You are listening to Radio Pulpit, or perhaps you're watching us on YouTube. This is Elevated. My name is Jenna Lee Belong, and with me on the line today is a powerful woman of God. A lot of her ministry focuses on deliverance, and I'm so keen for you to get to know the lady behind the ministry and behind the social media platforms where we have, of course, been seeing her. Danae Cohen, good day and welcome to Elevated.
Thank you, Jenna Lee. Thank you for having me on Radio Pulpit. I am ecstatic to be here. Thank you.
Perhaps for those people who are not familiar with your ministry, can you perhaps share a little bit about what your ministry entails and where it all started?
So I will go back to where it all started and then we come forward to where we currently are. So the name of my ministry is Delivered by Christ, because as a Christian, as a child of God, I believe that we are delivered by Jesus Christ himself. Okay. So growing up as a child in South Africa, I used to attend church with my granny on Sunday. You know, it was the normal church and then Sunday school and then home and then just living on during the week. But you know, generally, I had something in my heart that used to bother me, because I used to read in Sunday school the Bible verses that God gives us promises and God gives us blessings and favor. But in my community, a colored community that I grew up in, I didn't see that in my home. I didn't see that to a certain extent. And I always used to ask the Holy Spirit, but why the contrast? What is going on between reality and what we read in the Word of God? And then I started having dreams of me praying with people and me casting out demons. And I didn't understand it because I was only a teenager. But then the Holy Spirit told me that I would go into deliverance ministry. And hearing that for the first time, I can still remember, I was still afraid of the dark. So I was so shocked that, what is this? You know, we told not to mention demons. We told not to speak on demons. Like, you know, those are things from Satan. Those are the devil's things. You leave those things alone. You know, you just pray. And long story short, I started going into deliverance ministry, moved to New Zealand, studied demonology. I studied witchcraft, occult, etc. Then I started praying with people. And the first couple of sessions, I was more scared than the person being oppressed. But the Holy Spirit kept going. I quit my job and I went into ministry full time because I really saw a need for people to be free. And that was about 4 years ago. And I have just been in ministry, meeting people from all over the world and just declaring the name of Jesus Christ. So,
Glory to God, glory to God. And I must tell you, you're talking about being scared when you started the deliverance ministry. You've got Christians who've been born again for many, many years, who even right now, just listening to this conversation, are becoming scared. What do you think it is that keeps us from walking in our full authority as Christians, taking authority? And understanding the power that we have even over the demons that trembles at the mention of his name.
absolutely. It's the spirit of fear. You know, the Lord says directly, I did not give you a spirit of fear. So if you are struggling with a spirit of fear, you know, first of all, there's something that you need to break through. You know, you need to confront that spirit and stand in your God-given authority. I had to go through deliverance myself before going into deliverance ministry, because I found that in my bloodline, witchcraft was going on. I found that sacrifices were made. And when I had my deliverance, demons manifested through me and said the women in her bloodline were dedicated to a certain altar. And that's why they are strongholds. So that spirit was confronted along with everything else, and that spirit had to be cast out. So I would say that if you find yourself fearing the unknown, when God told us that we wrestle against powers and principalities, confront that spirit of fear and cast it out in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, amen. Danae, you shared about the house that you were raised in earlier, and I've heard you speak of the fact that you were raised by a staunch grandmother. Many of us, we owe our salvation and our love and zeal for God to our grandmothers. Talk to me about that, the role that your grandmother played in your own Christian walk. And how important it is that we have the passing on of generational knowledge to the next generation.
Absolutely. You know, for me, in my household growing up, there was such a stark contrast. So my grandmother was the matriarch of the family. She was the one, soft, sweet, humble, church-going. You know, you have to do everything God's way. When you party, when you try to go out, when it's that stage of clubbing in your life, she will try by all means. Don't go out on Saturday. Tomorrow is church, my child. You have to be in church. She was the sweetest, the most humblest woman. And then we had my grandfather, who was a minister as well. He was a pastor, but then he had an affair. The church took him off the pulpit, and he completely did a 180 and he went into witchcraft. So growing up, I would see things in the house that are not okay. You would feel the presence, you would see shadows in the corner of your eye. And I'm like, where's this coming from? Because all we know was church, you know? Why the stark contrast? And I happen to be the apple of his eye. So
Sure.
I would see him praying at his altars in the garage, but not say anything because he's my loving grandfather. And only after studying demonology, after learning about witchcraft, I was like, no, man. What granny is teaching and the Bible and the way, the cross that she's showing us and Jesus Christ that she's pointing us to. On the other hand, there's another force, there's another altar in the house. And that those two are working against each other. So yeah, my grandmother was, she was staunch and strong in her faith. But then my grandfather completely flipped. So that's where the strongholds, that's where the doors were opened, that's where sacrifices and dedications were made. And these things we only came to uncover as adults after years of stagnation and spiritual bondage. So that was my household.
I find it so interesting that when I look online, for instance, at your social media, how many people are struggling and they have nowhere to reach out to, because even in churches sometimes you don't find the deliverance ministry anymore. It's almost like, that was old school. We don't need deliverance. We are delivered. But when I look online, the amount of people who's reaching out that needs help, who's being tormented, that's very concerning, Danae.
You know, the fact that the church is not a place we can go to for deliverance, it's not only concerning and sad, but it angers me. It really does. It fills me with anger because we see people suffering and struggling. I mean, people who have what we call a spirit spouse, an incubus succubus spirit. This thing will come and torment them and sleep with them. People have witchcraft. I was in a deliverance session with a lady earlier today, and she told me her sister, her older sister, took the altar, you know, because they have to pass it down generations. And when she went to her sister's house, unknowingly that the sister is now the one in the family that's running the altar, she fell asleep in the bed and she woke up and saw her own tongue, her very tongue, sticking out of her mouth, hard as a rock, like a snake. And she just started praying and praying and praying until her tongue retreated back into her mouth. So people are struggling. People that are Christian, that are sitting in churches, that they even turn to sangomas and to traditional healers for help. Because every time they go to pastors, pastors are more afraid of demons than people in the world. They are told just to pray. Just go back and pray. I'm praying with you. No help, no resolution. It really angers me that I've seen people in deliverance that have gone through 4 years of Bible school, that call themselves apostles and pastors. And, there is no knowledge on the spiritual realm. There's no knowledge on legal right, on open doors of sin. The church has come to accept LGBTQ. The church has come to accept every abomination. There is no spiritual teaching on how to break curses and covenants. It really, it does. It's one subject that literally frustrates me.
But you have gone on and you ended up, as you shared earlier, studying demonology. In fact, if I have it correctly, you did so in a few years later. You then quit your corporate job in the New Zealand government. You have to share with us how that also ended up you ending up there. But you went on to actually go and study demonology, and then after quitting your job in New Zealand, went into full-time ministry. Perhaps tell us a little bit about that stage of your life.
So I came over to New Zealand with my family at the time in 2016. And from about 2015, the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. You have to go study demonology. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where to find it. I didn't know even where to start. While I was working in New Zealand, so when I came over in 2016, my very first job here was in the Ministry of Health. And this is how God works in my life. If I pray for something, when I was still in South Africa, busy with the whole immigration process, I already started praying for my job. I said, Lord, you know where I'm going to work. You know my desk I'm going to sit at. You know my chair. You know my salary I'm going to earn. So I'm covering it now with the blood of Jesus. I don't have it yet, but I know you are provider. So when I came in, my very first job, I didn't even have an interview. The manager at the time called me and said, I want to meet you for coffee. After our coffee date, she said, can you start tomorrow? That's how it went for me. And this is the pattern that God has shown over and over and over in my life. So I was working full time, raising my kids at the time. Then the Holy Spirit kept on pulling at my heart. I have to study demonology. And I would get random messages from people through social media saying, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I started studying demonology. Now, when people ask the study of demonology, there is no one course, like a one degree that you can take for demonology. Demonology is studying the art of what we call witchcraft. It is going deep into the sacred knowledge of the occult and of the Kabbalah. When people ask me today, please tell me where did you study demonology? I cannot give them an answer, say, go read this book, go read that book. Because many times when people go into those secret hidden knowledge of Lucifer without the Holy Spirit, they end up trapped there. You understand? So I had to study. The Holy Spirit showed me which books to read, what history to look up, Egyptian mysticism, Indian mysticism. It took me literally 6 years of just gathering knowledge. And then I had deliverance sessions part-time and on the weekend just to pray for people, to help people. The very first woman I saw for deliverance was a Maori lady from New Zealand. And if you know the Maori history and the Maori culture, how the chiefs used to eat each other, the winning chief after the battle used to eat the other chief to show victory over the tribe, victory over the territory. This woman manifested a wild dog from the forest. And the Holy Spirit was with me in that session, saying, say this, cast it out like this, break this power, call on this entity to be broken. And that's where I said, my teacher is the Holy Spirit himself. Up till today, my teacher is the Holy Spirit. So yeah, and then when the time came, I was working for Crown Law, which is the Queen's Crown, the head of the other government authorities for New Zealand, as a legal secretary. And then I left just before COVID hit. And then I said, ministry full time, that is my portion. And I've been doing it ever since. Moved countries, came back to New Zealand, still in ministry.
You mentioned the issue of spiritual husbands earlier, something that I hear a lot of ladies struggle with absolutely nowhere to go, no help. If you could get some, give somebody advice, having done a lot of deliverance in that area, what advice would you give to them today? They maybe don't have direct access to you or to somebody who's doing deliverance. What can they do? What should they know?
Okay, so a lot of ladies struggle with it, but men as well. A lot of men struggle with spiritual wives. So a spiritual wife is essentially, and I'll give the few entry points where they normally enter. Okay, a spiritual wife is normally a demonic entity that has taken the place of a natural spouse, a natural husband or a natural wife. Okay, and they will block marriage in the natural realm. And how to identify if you are struggling with a spirit spouse or a spiritual husband is first of all, sexual dreams. Something or someone coming to have sex with you in your dreams. Secondly, your relationships do not lead to marriage because they will do anything and everything to stop you from being married. Because when you are married, you have a covenant with another person. They do not want that. They want you to be covenanted to them. Okay. Now, how do people pick up or get spirit spouses? One of the most common ways is masturbation and pornography. In society today, we have been lied to that masturbation is self-pleasure. It is not. Masturbation is sex with yourself. The Lord said sex is reserved for husband and wife. It is one of the gifts of being in a covenanted marriage. People are involved in fornication, sleeping with other people, adultery, masturbation and pornography, all of these things that the world tells us is liberating yourself. Demons can see you when you are alone in your bed. There is no walls to block them, and they will come and form a covenant with you. And the most common spirits that enter through masturbation is incubus or succubus. Another way people have a spirit husband or wife is if there is a witchcraft altar or shrine, or what we call generational curses. If there's witchcraft being practiced or ancestral worship in the bloodline, the people, the women or the men or both sides would have been dedicated to a demon. Most common are water, a marine kingdom spirit, because in South Africa there's a lot of waters. Or a Leviathan spirit. And this demon will be there claiming ownership and will deem itself to be your spouse.
The question then is, Danae, how do we get deliverance? If now somebody's listening and they feel that what you are saying, they can identify with it, how do they get deliverance?
You know, the beauty about God's word is it is simple, yet it is profound. First thing we do, as children of God, we close all doors of sin. If you are shacking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if you are having casual hookups, if you are drinking to the point of blacking out, anything that the Lord tells us do not do, you close those doors because the demons that are there will use that as a legal right to continue oppressing you. So close all doors of sin. Secondly, you have to repent for the sin. Confess your sin, and the Lord will forgive you and he will wipe it from the book of life. Number three, break the curse. Through curse breaking and deliverance, and this is so important, people don't understand that curses are formed through spoken word. Whether it is a witch cursing you at an altar or you speaking life to break a covenant, you break the curse, you confront that altar, you confront the demonic power, and in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, you break it. And then step number four, you get deliverance. If those things have been coming down your bloodline, I once did deliverance with a woman who was carrying a curse from 6,000 generations in her bloodline. Those curses run deep. And they oppress, they lead to stagnation. The enemy has no mercy for no one. He doesn't care if he's hurting your feelings, He doesn't care if he's blocking your life. So
Yes.
those curses need to be broken and deliverance must happen. Whatever entities are living inside of your vessel must be cast to the pit. So those, I would say, are the four steps. After care, you stay in the Word of God, you
Amen.
stay in prayer, and you fast regularly to keep your vessel clean and keep yourself in spiritual discipline to fight these things. Because they do tend, especially the generational curses that's been coming down the bloodline, they tend to be relentless to try and get you back at their altar. So those, I would say, are my steps.
Great advice there from Danae Cohen. And of course, she also is very active on social media. And we're going to give you her handles so that you can continue to follow her ministry if you want to support her ministry, if you want advice from her, great content on her social media. But you also released your first book titled Delivered by Christ, Echoes of Authority. Tell us about it and where it's available.
I am so excited for this book. I've received so much great feedback. You know, I get thousands of emails a day from people saying, please pray with me. Please send me a prayer for this. I'm struggling with my children's studies. They're not focusing. This is happening, sickness, etc., etc. And I've decided to collate it into a book, just understanding how witchcraft works, what is the occult, how to break free, how to stand in your authority. That is it's so important. As a child of God, the Lord has given us authority over serpents and scorpions, and then prayers to help people. I'm really excited about it. It is available on my website, deliveredbychrist.com. You can download for now. It's a PDF version. And it is quite affordable for a specific reason. I want as many people to have it as possible because I know people are struggling with demonic strongholds. So, yeah, very excited about the book. I've received great feedback and I continue to pray for whoever is buying the book and whoever, you know, for me, deliverance is not just I see you today, we break the curses and that's it. No. The Bible says that my job as a minister of Christ is to weep between the altar and the parlor for his people. And I take this mandate very seriously. So it is continually praying for those who are seeking the Lord. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Deliveredbychrist.com. You said it's very affordable. What is very affordable in Rand? Just how much is it?
So it is 14.99 New Zealand dollars. So I think this is just over 100 rand, South African rand. Yeah.
So there you have it, very affordable. Go and download the book, deliveredbychrist.com. The book is titled Delivered by Christ, Echoes of Authority by Danae Cohen. Danae, I want to thank you so much for your time. And before I let you go, I want to ask you one more question. The ministry that you are in, it's not an easy one. It's not an easy one, both spiritually, physically, emotionally. It takes its toll on you financially as well because you do this full time now. How's your family coping with it? That's what I want to know. What is it like for them? Because sometimes when we are called, we just toy ourselves into our calling because you heard from God, right? But it was not a conference call. Your family was not there. So how are they coping with your calling and how do they support you?
You know, I can say thank you to the Lord. He blessed me with an amazing husband. He is so supportive. He is extremely supportive. And you know, those days when I just want to vent and complain, he's my go-to. And he sees when I am overdoing it and when I'm exhausted. And he forces me to take time out. And I love that. My daughter is 19 now. So she's like, you know, we pray together, but she's also finding her own faith. She found a church in New Zealand that she likes. So she's, you know, my family's good. And my son is 8. So he said to me earlier today that when he goes on holiday to his dad, he knows I'm going to be praying for him a million times. And this is what happens in my household. I said to him, Razik, I will not be praying a million times. I will be praying for you 2 million times because you're away from mommy. So, yeah, my family, they know my work. They can be sitting in close proximity to me while I'm in a deliverance session. They're used to the screaming, the gurgling, the shouting, the demonic sounds. I want to raise my kids in the truth. So I expose them to this and making them know full well that there's nothing the enemy can do that can be victorious over them because we stand in Christ and we are strong in him. So yeah, I have a very blessed, I'm blessed, I can say. I am blessed.
I do have to ask you because, I mean, for those of you who's going to watch this on YouTube, you might be asking yourself, like I am, how can Danae have a 19-year-old when she herself looks but, just here about 21, 22? Don't worry.
Oh, thank you for the compliment.
Yes. I don't know. One day, this conversation is going to require a part two because one day I think we should go in a bit deeper in your own testimony as well. But if you could give somebody, leave one piece of good advice today based off your own testimony, what you have been through, besides just the demonology, what you've been through, what good advice would you leave to them? Something that you hope that the next generation who comes after us, they don't make those same mistakes, something that we've learned or that can give them a bit of a boost in their walk with Christ and destiny as well. What would you leave with them?
I would say number one, you are stronger than you think you are. You are stronger than you think you are. When you think you've reached the end of the rope, your rope, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Just push a little bit and you will break through into a whole new level. Number two, if you put your trust in God, because so many times people say, yeah, I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord, just saying it for the sake of saying it, but really say, Lord, I put this in your hands and I know you're going to break through for me. I know you're going to answer. The Lord answers. He does. He really, really does. And number three, I would say short-term pleasures is not worth the punishment or the bondage or the oppression long-term. Short-term pleasures. If that person has no intention of marriage, of stability, don't bother. If the Holy Spirit has been giving you five dreams that this person is not supposed to be in your life, they're not the one I've chosen for you, listen. So those are the three things that I would say that will really keep you grounded and keep you going in this life. Oh, yeah, and number four, people lack joy. People lack joy. People are so sad and miserable, and yet we have so many promises in the Word of God. So the joy of the Holy Spirit is one of the fruits that should be evident in us. And when we trust God, if we seek His face, that joy is so tangible and beautiful. Those are my
You
points on my advice.
have really blessed us today, Danae. For those who want to follow you on social media, just remind them of those handles. Where do we find you?
So both TikTok and YouTube and the website as well, all the same, delivered by Christ. Easy and simple and direct and straight to the point.
There we have it, Danae. God bless you, your ministry, all that you do. May He continue to enlarge your territory and may you still help many people to walk in freedom and to sustain their deliverance. I loved what you said earlier about aftercare and sustaining your deliverance because that's so important as well. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And hopefully, you'll come back for a part two.
Yes, I will. Absolutely. And thank you for having me on the show. Thank you that you are also a voice for those asking questions, for those seeking Christ. You know, on radio, it helps a lot of people because your voice or your word or you bringing a certain topic to the forefront will be a testimony, something that someone is praying about to say, Lord, answer me in this area. And you come on and you are that voice to say, family, seek God, or the Lord confirms this and that. And for somebody, it is confirmation. So I thank you for the work that you do in growing the body of Christ and in winning souls for the Lord. It is very imperative. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Danae. Dieter, and when you are in South Africa, we'll have you in studio. That then the voice and the ministry, powerful ministry of Danae Cowan. So gepraat van Afrikaans, kom ons luister 'n bietjie Afrikaanse musiek. Hier's Retief Burger met Anhou Sing.